Hello, and welcome to the last episode of live Google Pay integrations on Android for this year. My name is Domi, and I'm a developer relations engineer for Google Pay. In today's episode, we will show you how you can integrate Google Pay for PayPal Braintree. Before we kick off, let me introduce you to my guests. Let's start with my awesome coworker, Jose. Hi, Jose. How are you? Are you excited about the live stream?
Very excited about this one. I feel slightly sad that this is the last one of the year, still November. Yeah. But hey, it's been five, so that's a good beginning. So very excited.
Cool. Yeah, you don't have to be sad because we have two awesome folks from PayPal Braintree. First off, we have Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, hello everyone. I'm Sarah Koop and I'm an Android engineer on the PayPal Braintree SDKs team, and I'm excited to show you all an integration today.
Great. And then we have also Corey, Sarah's coworker. Corey, I heard you will do the backend integration in today's episode. Is that right?
That is correct. So I will do the backend implementation and then I will pass it over to Sarah to do the front end implementation. So hi folks, my name is Corey Becker. I'm a pre-sale solution engineer at PayPal.
All right, super cool. As always, like in the last episodes, please use the chat and feel free to ask questions. We will try to answer as many questions as possible, ask questions about Google Pay, ask questions about PayPal Braintree. So we will try to pick them up and answer them spontaneously.
So Domi, wait, one question. Does it mean that I'm not coding today? Is that the plan for me? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, today we are pretty lucky because neither you nor me, we have to code. So it's all done by Sarah and Corey, which is super nice, right? So we can relax a bit.
All right, I'll take a chance to get engaged with the audience. Hi, cool. Everyone.
Great. So yeah, then let's switch to Corey and he will give you an overview about what we are trying to achieve today and what we will do with the Google Pay integration for PayPal Braintree.
Perfect. So hi, folks. Again, my name is Corey Becker. I'm a pre-sale solution engineer at PayPal. All that means is that I work with our merchants to understand and learn more about their business and to find ways where PayPal solutions, including Braintree, can help them. PayPal Braintree is our enterprise payment solution. It allows merchants to accept not only Google Pay, but credit and debit cards, PayPal, Venmo, lots of additional payment methods. So more information can actually be found at paypal.com/enterprise. So take just a moment to introduce the goals for our demo today. So today we'll pretend for a moment that we are a retailer of high-end electronics. Right now we accept credit cards on our website and Android app today, but we're looking to offer customers some additional choices with how they pay us. And so we're going to add a Google Pay button into our native Android app to do that. Before I actually hop into and jump into the code, it's important to understand at least at a high level how Braintree works. And so with most Braintree integrations, we have two parts. We'll have a client-side implementation that's going to be used to show a Google Pay button. We're going to use Braintree and Google SDKs to do that. Now, after somebody clicks on and taps on that Google Pay button, Braintree's SDKs are going to return a temporary token, or in our vernacular, it's called a payment method nonce. So that payment method nonce then is going to be sent from that Android app into this backend implementation that you see right here. That's going to take that payment method nonce and forward it to Braintree's gateway using our server SDKs, or for developers who prefer to not have it a dependency, you could use our GraphQL API as well. So again, what you see here is just a very basic Node app. That's what I'm going to write this backend implementation in, but really the language doesn't matter. The most important thing to take away from this demonstration today are the concepts. And so with that said, let's go ahead and hop into this Node implementation.
Real quick, Mario is in a rush, I think, because they are busy right now. So they're asking whether the recording will be put live in YouTube after this live stream. And the answer is yes. So you can go back to what you were doing. If you want to stick around still, that's still very cool. We'll appreciate that. But other than that, you can check us out later. You can go ahead, Corey, sorry.
All right. No, all good. Okay, so the very first thing that we're going to do is import our Braintree Server SDK. So we'll go ahead and do that.
Corey, for your server SDKs,
sure.
What different languages do you support? So you use a Node SDK here, but what other languages are supported?
Oh, that's a good question. So we support 6 of the most popular programming languages in the world. And so let's see if I can get them correctly off the top of my head without duplicating them. So we've got the PHP SDK, the Ruby SDK, Java, Python, Node, and I'm missing one. I don't remember what I...
.NET.
Thank you. It's hard to do that just off the top of your head. You know them like the back of your hand. But anyway, so 6 of the most popular programming languages. And again, as I mentioned in the intro, for developers who prefer to not have this additional dependency like we have right now, you could use our GraphQL API. So lots of flexibility, lots of choice that we've got.
Got it. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. So back into this backend implementation, the first thing that we're going to do is actually instantiate the Braintree gateway. So I will go ahead and do that now. And I'll walk you through some of the things that we use to initialize this. So this Braintree gateway constructor will take a few arguments. So we'll need to tell Braintree that we're going to be testing in our sandbox environment. We will also pass things like a merchant ID, which refers to the overarching Braintree gateway, including a public key and a private key. So all of these values can actually be found directly in your Braintree gateway. So if you log into your gateway right now and click on settings and then scroll down to API, you'll see all of the values right there. So let's go ahead and pass those in. And we've got a public key. Perfect. So at this point, we've got an instance of the Braintree gateway ready to use. I've pulled in my public key, my private key, and my merchant ID. So at this point, then let's go ahead and create an endpoint that the Android app is going to use to actually attempt a payment. So I'll create an endpoint called /payment. Again, it's just what I'm going to use for demonstration purposes. The endpoint that you've got in your implementation might be a little bit different, but again, just for this implementation, we'll use payment. Okay, so at this point, then we'll assume that the client SDK has generated that payment method nonce or the temporary token, and it has sent it into this endpoint. So what we're going to do is then pass that to Braintree using our sell transaction method. Now that sell transaction method will return some information like the success or failure of that transaction, the actual transaction object itself. And then if there happened to be an error or a validation error, we would also have a message. So we'll go ahead and map this now. And let's go ahead and call Braintree gateway. Okay, so this method then takes a few arguments. So we'll need to tell Braintree the amount that we want to charge our customer. We'll also need to map and take that payment method nonce or that temporary token that we've received from the client implementation. We'll need to pass that as well. I'll also pass an order number, for example. It just makes things easier to find within the Braintree control panel in our reports. So let's go ahead and pass those in. Order ID. We'll just make up an order ID. So sample, random. So just a random order number. Options. So what I want to call attention to again is just this payment method nonce. So again, this comes directly from Braintree's client SDK. You'll pass that into this endpoint and forward that over to Braintree. Lots of additional information and arguments that you could send, but again, this is the most basic example of a sale transaction call. So we could also potentially pass billing address information. So it's useful for merchants who are domiciled in the US to pass a postal code, for example, and a country code. We could also potentially pass custom fields as well. So again, lots of additional information that you could send to Braintree, but Again, just for demonstration purposes, we will keep it simple. So if this transaction was successful, then let's go ahead and return some information back into that Android app. So the Android app can display a order confirmation screen, for example. So we'll return whether this order was successful and maybe the transaction ID and the order number. So let's go ahead and pass those in.
Corey, quick yes. question.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious. So do you mm-hmm. usually recommend to set submit for settlement Boolean as something a merchant should do? Or do you suggest that a merchant splits up those calls into two API calls?
For demonstration purposes, I've set it to true. However, it really depends on the merchant's use case. And so if you are an electronics retailer, for example, the more common use case is that you would authorize the Google Pay account or the card within Google Pay. And then as soon as the order ships or is about to ship, then at that point, we would have a second step to actually submit for settlement that actual authorization. So it's more common in retail to not use submit for settlement, but just for demonstration purposes, I've combined this into a single call to authorize and submit for settlement at the same time.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question, though. Very good question. So continuing on here, so if this transaction was successful, it will return to the Android app the transaction ID, the status, and an order number, for example. If it was unsuccessful, then let's also return some information. Perfect. So that's it for a very basic implementation of a sale transaction. What I really like, though, is that without having implemented the client SDK, we could actually test this method. And so to test it, we can use a fake payment method nonce that would emulate and simulate a Google Pay account. And so let's go ahead and start the node server and send a request. There we go. So we have it running on port 3000. So HTTP host. And again, that placeholder nonce or the fake nonce that we can use to simulate a Google Pay transaction will be called fake Android Pay Visa nonce or fake Android Pay MasterCard nonce, for example. So let's go ahead and send this.
Or fake Google Pay.
Eventually fake Google Pay. For now, fake Android Pay. But yeah, I know that is something that we're looking at. So as we can see, that transaction was successful. We've got a Braintree transaction ID, we've got an order number, and we can see that transaction was submitted for settlement. So let's test just a simple decline. And so testing declines in Braintree use values between 2000 and 3000. All of these values can actually be found, again, just right in our developer documentation, so developers.braintreepayments.com. But let's test a sample decline. So 2046 is a common decline code that you would potentially see with Braintree. So let's run the same thing. And we can see that it was declined. All right, so I'll go one step further. Let's test a validation error. So let's assume that I've sent an amount that's obviously not an amount. So ASDF 2046, that's definitely not an amount. So I'll run the same thing and we can see that we have a validation error. So that's a very basic endpoint with the sale transaction method. The last thing that I will do is actually define an endpoint to generate a client token. So the client SDKs can be initialized in one of two ways, either with a static tokenization key that you can ship with your native app or with a client token. Some client libraries that we have with Braintree, so for example, 3D Secure, require the use of a client token. And so I will create an endpoint that Sarah can use if she would like to use a client token to initialize her Android app. Otherwise, we could potentially use a client token a tokenization key. So let's go ahead and define that endpoint.
By the way, I like that you used HTTP Pi or however it's called.
HTTP Pi,
yeah. Yeah, to test your integration. That's cool.
Yeah. I like it. It's easy.
Yeah, it is.
Looks really nice. I've been doing curl commands for the last 20 years. So much time could have been saved.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I also like curl.
Yeah, it depends for some requests, just a bit too much.
Yeah. So last thing I'll do, I'll use HTTP instead of curl, just to test this endpoint, just to make sure that it does work. So localhost and token, and we should have a response. Perfect. So at that point, we have an endpoint for payments that'll actually attempt a authorization with Braintree, and we also have a second endpoint that the client SDK can use to initialize itself. So with that said, then, Sarah, I will hand it over to you for the client implementation. Unless there's any
one
other
question, Corey, before we do that. Thanks, by the way. I think this sure. was like swift and easy. One question about the testing. I saw that you mm-hmm. changed some values, and then that allowed you to see test responses, right? Is that attached to a specific value, or you use a limit that you use for certain amounts that you have in your API for sandbox purposes?
Yeah, so for sandbox, so for testing in the sandbox environments, amounts specifically between 2,000 to 3,000 simulate specific types of declines. And so 2046 is a generic decline, 2036 is a different type of decline, 2,000 is another type of decline. I think it's a do not honor, but these values just allow you to test various declines in Braintree. So literally all of those test values can be found in our developer documentation.
That's really cool. Thanks, Corey.
Yeah.
We have a question from Mr. Mitsu, who's asking, can an indie developer open a Braintree account?
That's a good question. So certainly sandbox accounts are extremely easy to set up. There's no cost to doing so. You can create a sandbox account and actually begin testing in our sandbox environment quickly. As far as production, there is an application process. So if you were to go to braintreepayments.com, you'll find more information about that process.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for the question, Mr. Mertu. Let me take the chance to invite everyone else in the audience to ask questions. We are live. This is not recording, so we can answer anything that you have in mind. Well, if it's related to payments especially, other things we'll try our best. All right. Thanks a lot, Corey. And going to your screen, Tara, if you're ready.
Yes, awesome. Thank you, Corey, for setting up that backend for us. And now I'm going to show you all how to connect your Android app to that server that we just set up. So you can see down here, I already have the server running on port 3000. So we're good to go there. And I also have a very basic UI for our electronics company checkout screen if we're checking out with these headphones today. So I have some simple UI and I have some API already set up, and this is using Retrofit so that we can spend most of the integration time looking at the actual Google Pay with the PayPal Braintree SDK. So we already have our networking layer set up, and you can see here I have endpoints set up to match the endpoints that Corey defined in our server. So we've got a payment and client token, and they're associated with these methods to create a transaction or get a client token. And then we also have the implementation of this in a demo API client. So this is a simple method to send our payment method nonce to that server payment endpoint and create a transaction and then call back a very basic result. So it's a pretty simple integration. And if you want to see the full code for this, all of this will be available on GitHub. And let's dive into the actual Google Pay integration. Before I start, I'll also note that we have a Google Pay button that already exists in this code. And this is from the Google Pay button API. And I'm using XML for this example, but this also exists for Jetpack Compose. So this is Google's API that allows us to put a Google Pay button on our screen. And right now I have it hidden because what we're going to do is use the SDK to check if a user is able to pay with Google Pay. And then if they are, we'll show that Google Pay button, and we won't show it if they're not able to pay with that. So with that, let's dive in. And I'm going to use our developer docs and basically just walk through it and copy paste the code snippets where I can to get this integration going. So I'm currently in the developer docs website under guides and Google Pay. And if you want to get more information about this, you can check out the overview section. But for now, I'm going to look at the client side integration.
So Sarah, quick question from my side. I can see here drop-in UI and custom integration. So would you say that if a merchant or a developer of a merchant wants to go quickly, maybe the drop-in UI is a better choice versus the custom integration, or how would you see it?
Yes, if you don't want to deal with customizing the UI and you just want a pre-built UI payment sheet, the drop-in UI is a great option. It offers a variety of different payment methods and it's configurable for which payment methods you want to offer. So the drop-in UI is a great option for that. And then the custom integration, of course, is awesome if you want to have your own custom UI, for example, like what we have here. Yeah. If you want to show the button yourself and be in control of that, custom integration is for you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And so for today's example, we're going to walk through the custom integration, and that begins with including the dependency for the SDK. So I'm going to copy that from here and just add it into my build.gradle. And then to actually call any methods in the SDK, you need to use what we call payment method clients. So we have a Braintree client and a Google Pay client. So our Braintree client is constructed with whatever form of authorization we're gonna use, either a client token or a tokenization key, as Corey mentioned. And then our Google Pay client is what we use to actually invoke methods to launch the Google Pay flow or check if the user is ready to pay. So I'm gonna start by looking at this code snippet and just take my clients, and I'm gonna instantiate those in my activity.
Which of the flows would you recommend between a client token and the other one that I already forgot the word? Do you have any
tokenization? So like Corey mentioned, there are certain payment flows that require you use a client token. So for that case, of course, use a client token. If you want to get up and running quickly, I think a tokenization key is great because it's just a static string that you can access from your control panel. So for example, I'm going to use a tokenization key for this example because I already have one in my environment variables, and then we can just access that there. And that's all we have to do. We don't need to do any network calls or anything like that. We just have a static string that we got from the control panel. But some payment methods will require a client token.
All right, thank you.
So let's import variables, and then I'm also just going to create some variables for these.
Maybe one additional question regarding the tokenization key. They do not expire, right? A merchant does not have to rotate them, right?
That's correct.
I believe that's correct. Okay, Corey. Yeah. Corey's the expert on that, but yes.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so now we've got our clients set up, and let's do this first call, which is checking if the user is ready to Google Pay. So I'm just going to paste this code. I'm going to do this in onCreate too, because we'll want to show our button immediately if they are ready. So you can see here, we'll show the Google Pay button if they're ready to pay. And for the purposes of this demo, I'm just going to consider happy path unless we run into errors and need to consider them. But of course, you should handle errors in your integration. But for now, we're just going to assume it's always working. So if the user is ready to pay, I'm going to invoke this setup Google Pay method, which will actually show the Google Pay button once I set it to visible. And then this Google Pay button has an on-click listener that, of course, does nothing yet. So let's run our app now and just see if we can see that Google Pay button. So it's going to build.
While that happens, I'm going to use the chance to take a question. Mm-hmm. There's a question from Nemotive. There was a prior question that was similar, and there's been a little discussion on the chat, which I really enjoyed, by the way. So keep those coming. And the question is, what's the point of using Braintree on Android if your business doesn't fit the Play Store exceptions, only Google Payments are available. So to clarify, if you're taking payments in your Android application, there's two potential scenarios. Scenario one is your application is subject to the Google Play Store billing regulations or, let's say, rules, then you have to use Google Play billing to take payments. Again, that's under the policy of the Google Play Store. If your application and your payments don't fall under those conditions, then you can use Google Pay with your favorite PSP to take payments. I cannot probably summary the entire list of conditions, but in a nutshell, a good guidance or a good indication is if you're selling digital goods, like, for example, virtual coins or in-app services, then most likely you will need to use Google Play billing on the Play Store. If you are outside of that and you're selling physical goods like t-shirts or headphones, or you're doing food delivery, similar scenarios, then you can use another payment solution that is outside of Google Play, that is a Google Pay with a PSP. Remember that Google Pay doesn't process the payment. That's why you need a payment gateway like PayPal Braintree, and that's why we're all together today doing a combined integration. Hopefully that clarifies. That's a great question, so thank you for that, Nemotiv. And back to you, Sarah.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. So we can see now that our app built, and now we have this Google Pay button visible, which is awesome. And of course, if I tap it, it does nothing yet, but we will get to that in a minute. And I also want to call out that there's some really cool customizations for this button that I will get to at the end of this integration, but this is one of the options, the checkout with Google Pay button. So now let's continue on and actually show our Google Pay payment sheet. So I'm going to keep scrolling down in the docs here. And the next thing we need to do is actually request a payment. So here we have a pretty full example of what an integration can look like with a simple activity, which is basically how my demo app is set up right now. So the first thing we need to do is add a listener. And this listener is going to be used to handle results of the flow. So success or failure, results will be returned to this listener. So now that I implemented that, I need to implement these methods. So we've got a success method, which would return a payment method nonce, and that nonce would be used to send to the server that Corey set up. Or of course, on failure, we would handle an exception. So we also need to tell our client what the listener is. So we're gonna set this listener on our client. So we're gonna say that the activity that we're in right now is the listener for this client. So now we're set up to handle results, but we actually need to make a Google Pay request. So I'm just going to copy this Google Pay request from the docs and add it to this launch Google Pay method. And so this request object is configurable based on your integration, whatever your needs are. There's a bunch of different parameters. Of course, we would want to dynamically set this price, but for now, I'm just going to pass in 100 because that's what we're showing on the screen here. And I'm going to leave the currency code as US, but that's configurable as well. So configure your Google Pay request however you need to, and then we're going to actually request payment, which this method will show the Google Pay payment sheet on the button click. So let's run it again and see if we're seeing that payment sheet. Okay, so we've got our button, we're gonna click it, and now we see our payment sheet is launching. And I wanna call out that you can see on here, I've got a payment method that is valid Visa with four ones. And this is a test card that's provided by Google. I'll show in the docs here. They have a test card suite that's available, and you can join this test card suite group with whatever Google account you're testing with. And that will give you access to all of these test cards. There's a variety of different scenarios, valid, invalid, et cetera. So it's super helpful for doing your testing with this integration. For now, I'll just use the valid Visa, but I wanted to call that out.
Yeah, and maybe, Sarah, maybe to clarify, those are like, we work together with you folks, so with PayPal Braintree, to incorporate those test cards, your test cards, into our test suite. So whatever you see there. So if you would click on the little arrow next to the card, all the cards you see there are actually provided from PayPal Braintree directly to us.
I guess yes, it's hidden. Yes, yeah. It's hidden due to security, but those cards are all available in our developer docs. You can see a whole list of test cards, all the numbers that are available for Braintree. So yes, thank you for noting that. And of course, if I hit the continue button now, it's going to crash because I haven't handled my result. But we'll just let it do that. So now we have to actually handle the success. And so let's go back to our docs and see what we should do. Okay, so here we have our on Google Pay success method, and it's telling us that we should send our payment method nonce string to our server. And this is where the API client that I already have set up comes into play. So we have a create transaction method, which would send our nonce to our server. So I'm going to actually call that. And I also already have a little helper method in my activity that calls that method. So this method currently takes an any, but let's make it a payment method nonce because that's what we have. And then instead of returning an empty string, we're going to return the nonce string to this create transaction method, which will call our payment endpoint from the server that was already defined. And then I've also already created a basic purchase confirmation screen that just shows the last four digits of the card as a sanity check that you paid with the card you thought you did and for our testing. So we're going to show the purchase confirmation if we have a successful transaction. And I also note that this Google Pay success method returns a payment method nonce, which is our generic type, because it could be a couple different types of payment method nonces. It might be a PayPal account if they used a PayPal account through their Google Pay account, or it might be a Google Pay card nonce. So you're going to need to check what type it is before you're able to access this information. For example, the last four digits of the card is a feature of, or is a parameter of a Google Pay card nonce. And for this example, I know that's what it's going to be because I'm paying with a card through Google Pay. So let's just do a quick check of the type. And then if it is, we will do our card last four, which is available now if it's a Google Pay card nonce. And there's also a whole bunch of other parameters that you can access once you know what type it is, such as the email address they paid with, et cetera, all the other details. So you want to be checking what type it is for the Google Pay flow. So now we should be all set up, but let's actually invoke that method here and pass it our nonce. And now I'm going to run it again, and then we should be able to do the whole flow. Okay, so we can see our button. We can see our payment sheet. And I'm going to continue. And there's going to be a bit of a lag here because we're actually making that API call. So you maybe want to show a spinner or something, whatever you need to do for your UI. I have one in here, but I'll maybe skip that for now. But we can see here we have our successful purchase confirmation screen, and it shows us that we paid with a card that ends in four ones, which is the one that I selected on the payment sheet. So everything's looking good, but we can go a step further and actually make sure that we can see our transaction by looking at our sandbox control panel. So I'm already logged in here and I'm just going to refresh it so I can see the transactions. You can see we've already done a few today, but let's look at the detailed transactions. Okay, so now we can see that we have a transaction for the amount of $100 that was submitted for settlement. Because if you remember, that's what we set up in our server. We said we're going to submit for settlement. And then this was at 11:33 a.m., which was a minute ago. So there's our transaction and it was successful. So that is a complete end-to-end integration of Google Pay through PayPal Braintree, which is really exciting.
Great. This is so cool. Question. So when you...
I have a question. Can I go first, Tommy?
Yes, 100%.
Can you show the checkout screen, Sarah? I have a question about the product that we are buying.
Sure.
I'm curious about what I've been like asking myself throughout the entire live stream, what do I get home if I purchase that item? What arrives? What comes home in the delivery?
Yes. Well, these amazing, awesome headphones would come, of course.
Interesting. 2D on a piece of paper, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
We might even include two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and order it right now as soon as you publish the app on the Play Store.
The most beautiful headphones you've ever seen.
It's a sticker, Jose.
Oh, still, I like it. Questions. And so, yeah, we have a couple of interesting questions. Thanks for keeping that interesting, by the way. Hassan, do we need anything on the backend side to test Google Pay with test cards? You can see test cards without a backend integration, but to get the full end-to-end testing flow in your suite, we recommend you to have a backend, because the whole point of this is that Google Pay will return to you a test card that PayPal Braintree can recognize. And then by recognizing that card, it can send you a response to simulate a specific flow. One example of that is, let's say you go into the Google Pay selector and you choose a Braintree test card that will simulate a decline payment, right? Because you want to test that out in your backends and see what happens. You want to do a full end-to-end flow. You will need to send that tokenized payment method to your Braintree backend so that Braintree can say, when you create the transaction, as Corey was showing a second ago, this payment method is declined, right? And then only then you can see how your system in full behaves. So you can see them without a backend integration. We recommend you to test it with the backend integration so that you have a full end-to-end picture. And hopefully that answers. Thank you for the question, Hassan. I have to say that I also really like Domi's accent.
Wow.
As for the rest of us, we'll have to keep working on it. But yeah, agreed. Definitely.
No, but he said I have an accent. This is, I mean, so.
Yeah, but it's as good as it gets, right? Like you have an accent, but it's like super easy to understand. I wish, as a Spaniard, I wish I had that. We have it a bit more difficult. All right, PUs is asking whether a Braintree can be used directly instead of adding Google Pay. You can use a payment gateway like PayPal Braintree directly to collect payments. When you use it with Google Pay, you're making your checkout process easier for your customers. So you should see an impact in your checkout success rate, especially on Android. On Android, concretely, there's a every device with a Google Play services account installed in means that there's a user that is logged in already. That means that when they use Google Pay in your app to pay, they will be able to skip that process, right? They will have their account ready, their payment methods will be ready right away, even if they installed your app for the first time. So the checkout is swift. Again, especially on Android.
Yeah, and to add to that, Sarah and Corey, keep me honest, but if, for example, you would go with a PayPal Braintree's drop-in solution, Google Pay would be there for you automatically. So Google Pay would be just another payment method. So nothing for you to do if you use a drop-in solution if it comes to Google Pay.
Yeah, there's a few options that you would use to show Google Pay within the drop-in UI, but that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool. All right.
Let's see. Do we have all the questions? Oh,
I have one more. Actually,
go ahead, Domi.
Yeah. I would actually be interested to see if the PayPal Braintree SDK can handle 3D Secure in combination with Google Pay. Is that possible?
Yes, it can. So 3D Secure is a way to provide enhanced fraud protection and meet strong consumer authentication requirements. So we do offer that with Google Pay. I can show the docs for that. So if you want to read more about what 3DS is or 3D Secure, you can read all about it in the docs, but we also can include it with our Google Pay integration.
That's great.
Oops. Back to that quick. Before I get to that, I did want to show really quickly just one more of the button customizations, because I think these are really cool. And then I'll get to 3DS. But I just wanted to show that if you do buy with this button, then you get to see the user's last four digits of their credit card that's associated with the Google Pay account. So just another plug for some cool customizations you can do with this button. Also, of course, you can change the theme. So I'll put it back, but I just wanted to call that out. And now let's look at Google, or 3DS.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, so we're looking at our 3D Secure integration documentation now. And of course, we've got this note here. As Corey mentioned earlier, if you're going to use 3D Secure, you have to use a client token. So now we need to update our integration to use this, what we call a client token provider. So here we have an easy example of how to do this, but our demo app is pretty much already set up to do this. So we have this API client that already has a method for getting a client token. I wasn't using it yet, but let's just make our API client be this client token provider, because essentially what this class is a class to fetch client tokens and tell Braintree how to, how to fetch a client token under the hood when it needs it. So let's just implement the methods here, which you see we have a get client token method. And since I already have this, I'm essentially just going to copy this into this method here, and I'll make some quick changes. So I think this callback method is slightly different. So on success, we're going to call back a client token. And again, I'm just not going to handle errors for now. Hopefully we're all successful. So that's essentially all you have to do to implement a client token provider, given that you're already set up to fetch a client token. So now in my Braintree client, instead of passing in this tokenization key, I'm just going to pass in that demo API client as my client token provider, because that's the other constructor for this class. So with that, we should be good to fetch client tokens, but let's just run the app really quick, because if we're able to see that Google Pay button, we will know that we successfully fetched a client token. So there we have it. So we know that's working because that used an API call to check if the user was ready to pay.
Sorry, Sarah. By the way, if you think Corey and Sarah are too fast in implementing the backend and the frontend, please check out this GitHub link. It's all open source, and we will also link it after the stream. We will link it below the video. So go ahead and check out this GitHub repository. Also, make sure you can switch branches. In one branch, and Sarah, I guess that's correct. In one branch, you will see the 3D Secure implementation, and in the other one, you will see the full implementation without 3D Secure.
Yes, so this will all be available if you want to dive deeper into the code. I know I'm jumping back and forth between screens pretty quickly here, so feel free to dive deeper later. So now that we have our client token set up, we can also add these credentials that are required to access an SDK required for 3D Secure. So let's put this in our settings.gradle. And I'm just gonna update this for my configuration. And then the last thing that we need to do is, I'll sync that, similar to Google Pay, 3DS can be used in our drop-in UI. So that's just another configurable element of the drop-in UI, or with a custom UI. So I'm going to scroll down to this custom UI section. So with a custom UI, of course, we need to include the dependency. So I'm going to add that to my build.gradle beneath my other one. Okay, now let's sync it again just to make sure that everything is set up correctly. And it looks like we are good to go. So let's continue on with the integration. Go to Kotlin. So just to call out where we should do this is in our on success of the Google Pay method. So once we've received a Google Pay payment method nonce, we can then essentially upgrade that nonce for 3D Secure. So we're gonna wanna add this, instead of calling create transaction here immediately, we're gonna check if the payment method needs to be or can be 3D secure authenticated, or if not, then we'll just go ahead and create a transaction. So going down in our docs, we have a specific section on this for Google Pay. So I'm going to scroll down to Google Pay. As you can see here, it's available with drop-in or custom UI. So in this code snippet, we can see that what we're first going to want to do is check if our Google Pay card nonce is network tokenized. And we only want to use 3D Secure, or it's only eligible for 3D Secure if the card nonce is not network tokenized. So I'm going to copy this code snippet and put it here. So
maybe quickly for the audience to understand that this makes total sense. 3D Secure only needs to be applied for cards you have not added to your Google Wallet. Whenever you have added your card to the Google Wallet, it will tokenize it behind the scenes, and therefore, when using it in the sheet, 3D Secure is not needed. If you select a card in the sheet not tokenized before, then 3D Secure should be triggered.
Yes, exactly. So of course here I actually also have to check my payment method type. So I'm going to once again check if it's a Google Pay card nonce, because that's what we're talking about here. And that's where we'll get this parameter of is network tokenized. So let's put it here. And then I'm going to just call this payment method nonce, because that's what it is in this example. Oops. Okay. And so then here I'm going to create these using code snippets, the address and additional information, but I'll just update this. As you can see from the docs, this should be our payment method nonce that we got, the string. So I'm going to set that. And of course, we would want to actually parse these values from our payment method nonce, such as like the email and the amount. But for this example, I'm just going to copy and paste the docs to move more quickly. But you would want to actually parse that out. So I'm going to go back up here where we have a full example of an address and additional information so that I can just copy and paste it. And again, this is all just test data, but we would want this to be actually from the nonce. Okay. Formation. So now we have our request all set up, which passes all of this additional information about our payment method to our 3D Secure request. But let's now set up the clients to use it. Similar to Google Pay, 3D Secure has a 3D Secure client. And now you can use the same Braintree client, because that's essentially just providing the authentication, but we need a 3D Secure client to actually call these 3D Secure methods. So I'm going to go back up here and instantiate it similar to how I did the rest of these. And I'm going to create a variable for it too.
I'll take a question in the meantime, if you don't mind, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
So Piyush is asking about clarification for how the last four digits you saw in the Google Pay button before, how they are chosen. I think you have an answer for that, Domi. But I regret that we don't have Nicolas like last week anymore, because I think those are questions that are ideal for him.
Yeah, this would be a perfect question for Nicolas. I totally agree. But yeah, Piyush, thanks for the question. This is great. We are trying to show the last used card on the button, so the last four digits of the last used card on the button. And it doesn't matter where you have used your last card. So we try to be smart about it, and we are continuously improving this this mechanism of showing you the right last four digits on the Google Pay button.
Thank you, Domi. Thank you, Piyush.
Awesome. I'm going to continue on with similar to the Google Pay listener, we have a 3D Secure listener. So I'm just going to set it up in the exact same way, where I just make this activity be the listener for now. And you can see that it has pretty much similar methods, the success or failure method. So we want to handle our results similarly, and we need to set the listener on this client again. So now we're set up to handle results and launch 3D Secure, but we actually need to launch 3D Secure. So that's this code snippet here, where we're performing a verification and then continuing that verification. And what this is going to do is launch a authentication challenge where the user has to like type in a code or something like that. I'll show you when we run it, but that's essentially what this method is going to do. So instead of activity, let's just pass in this. I think we called this request. And then activity and request again. So you can see here, you can do any inspection or preparing of the result and then continue the authentication. And we're not going to handle errors right now. And then the last thing we need to do is handle the result. So now I'm just going to do exactly what I did in the Google Pay success method previously, where I'm going to now create a transaction with my, the tokenized card is the payment method nonce, which is of type card nonce. So that's what we're going to be accessing on this result object. So you're going to want the tokenized card. And now the last thing I'm going to do is just do a quick update of this method, because previously we were checking if this was a Google Pay card nonce, and then we were showing the last four. But now post 3D Secure, it's actually going to be a card nonce. It's going to have been upgraded from one type to another. It still has a last four accessible. The last four digits of the card are still accessible, but it's just a different type. And now I can run the app again, and hopefully we should be able to see a full 3D Secure authentication flow with Google Pay.
Great. Let's see.
So let's see. Okay, we've got our button. We're going to launch the payment sheet. I'm going to use the same test card.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, it's not going to be visible. I'm going to have to show you all my screen. But you can kind of see here, it's an authentication challenge of some sort where I'm typing in a code. So this is just a sandbox fake screen. But for security, it's protected, so you can't see it. But I'm typing in a code. And then I'm hitting submit, and we return to our app where we're going to create the transaction. And here is definitely where you'd want to show a spinner. But for now, we can see that once again, we successfully completed our transaction. And let's just double check in the control panel once again.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a 3D Secure Pass kind of indicator or something in the dashboard?
So you're going to see it similar to... Like it looks the same as the other transaction. You can see it. Oh, actually, that's not it. Sorry. Let me refresh one more time. There we go. Okay. So that's our new one. It doesn't look any different. Maybe Corey can answer if there's any difference in the control panel for 3D Secure transactions.
Actually, Sarah, go ahead and open that up, that transaction.
Ah, yes, you can see it. Okay, sorry. There you go. It's just not visible from the line.
Awesome.
But yeah, so we can see that this was successfully authenticated, and you can see our test card here. And that is a complete 3D Secure integration, which I know that was really fast. So yes, please check out the GitHub repo later if you want more details. And also before I close this demonstration out, or before I pass it to Domi to close this demonstration out, I just want to take a quick moment to call out that we are currently working on a new major version of our PayPal Braintree Android SDK that will hopefully provide increased flexibility for your integrations. And if you're interested in the development of that, it's entirely open source. So we welcome any feedback, any GitHub discussions or issues, or even comments on our pull requests if you are so inclined. And we especially would like feedback on any upcoming beta versions. So feel free to follow along with our development there. And we're excited to share that all with you. And with that, I'll pass it back to Domi.
Cool. Amazing. So Domi, maybe a couple of questions?
100%. Yeah, go on.
All right. So we have a couple from Mohamed Taufik Tkaya. They're asking about the pattern or architectural pattern used in this application, whether that's MVC, MVVM, or any other. I think that this being a demo, probably it's just a bit simpler than that. If I had to make a bet, I would say closer to MVC than any other, but I'll let you take that one, Sarah.
Yes, for the purposes of this demo, this is about as simple as an app can be. It's essentially just an activity. We are hopefully working to improve our documentation and SDK compatibility with Jetpack Compose, as I know that is a new pattern that we are very excited about. So hopefully future demonstrations could show Jetpack Compose, but for now, this is just a very simple activity app.
Fantastic. And another quick one about Android libraries, also from Mohammed Tawfiq. Whether we are using, so the question is, what other libraries or plugins are we using in this app? And I recall seeing Retrofit, maybe OKHTTP. Anything else, Sarah?
Yes, this app is just using Retrofit, but I will call out that the SDK itself does not include Retrofit. That's just this demonstration app. So our SDK tries to be as lean as possible and avoids using dependencies on outside libraries unless it's necessary. So in the SDK itself, we don't use Retrofit.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for that, Sarah. And thank you everyone for the questions. Tommy, back to you.
Cool. Thank you so much. All right. This was so great. Thank you so much, Corey and Sarah. With that, today's episode comes to an end. Thank you so much for joining today. I think it was a great discussion. We had some great questions. If you like, give us a follow on X so you get the latest and greatest news about Google Pay. We will also introduce the next live streams next year. So give us a follow there. Cool. This was Live Google Pay Integrations on Android with Google Pay DevRel. And today with Sarah and Corey from PayPal Braintree. Have a great rest of the week. Until next year. Bye-bye.